If you've ever been to a part of the world where there is heavy pollution, you cannot see the sun. I have been to countries where there was so much pollution in these cities, the sun was obviously up, but there was so much pollution in the air, you couldn't see the sun. The sky was light, and then when the pollution gets really thick, it obscures the sun so that the sun doesn't even have light, and the moon, forget it. You can't see the moon, you can't see the stars because of the pollution. Well, this is going to be because of the smoke of the uprising that's going to come. And there are five blackouts that are spoken about in the end times in the scripture. Five blackouts that are going to occur. Okay, so let me recap. What we're reading about now in Isaiah chapters 13 and 14 is this is the judgment upon the Babylon of the future. The Jews went into captivity in Babylon in about 600 BC. There was a judgment that came upon that Babylon, but this is not what Isaiah is talking about. There's other portions in Isaiah where he's going to deal with the Babylon of that generation. Remember, where Isaiah is at this point, when Isaiah is prophesying, he's in about 700, 730, 740 BC. This is almost 100 years before Babylon really rose to prominence, the Babylon that was there. And then the Jews were taken into captivity there for 70 years, and after 70 years, they came out. That was the first diaspora for their disobedience. This is not what he's prophesying about here. What he's prophesying about is the Babylon that is going to be rebuilt, and that Babylon that is going to be rebuilt is going to become the center of economic and political, the economic and political power of the world. So it's hard for us to believe that, but we are not in the end times in the sense that we are not in this 7 years of tribulation that is to come before the Lord Jesus returns. So when people say we are in the end times, I'm not sure what that means. Now remember, the rapture could occur at any time, where those who believe in Christ are taken in with no notice, just taken up, and the church is removed from this earth. There are no preconditions for the rapture. That could happen at any time. But there are preconditions for the second coming. Not my preconditions, God's preconditions, and he outlines them. And one of them is the city of Babylon is going to have to be rebuilt. There's a Babylon there today. There are not many people there. It's sort of a wasted city. There's not much there today, but it will be rebuilt and it will become the center of economic and world power. And if that surprises you, if you had lived in 1940, it would have really surprised you that Israel would rise up in that same land. And then in 1948, they were established and they've risen up in that same land. So welcome to the world of surprises. But God maps it out for us. And so what we're reading about in this chapter is we're reading about the second half of the time of tribulation. So the first 3.5 years of tribulation, that's 360, not 365, but 360 days times 3.5, that first portion is the Jews will be friendly with the Antichrist, but they will have a falling out at the midway point. And the next 3.5 years, and that's 360 times 3.5, is going to be a time of real torment for them.
If you do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, send me an email, tour@drjamestour.org, and we will get together and I will share with you about why I embrace the resurrection of Jesus.
And it is in that second half where this is going to occur near the end of that. And because the first Babylon was not destroyed when the Jews came out of it, when it was attacked by the Medes and the Persians, it was not destroyed. In fact, the only casualty was Belshazzar, the king. He was the only casualty. And in fact, there's a Jewish Midrash, which is a Jewish story, which has no particular basis in scripture for it, but it's a very old Jewish Midrash, Jewish story, that Belshazzar was actually, remember that in Daniel, it talks about how the hand wrote on the wall, and there was this prophecy about how Belshazzar's kingdom was going to come to an end. And he was feeling very sick because of that. but he had told the guards in front of the door to the banquet hall, if anybody shows up here, even if they say they are the king, kill him. All right. So then what happens is, because he was feeling really sick and he went to relieve himself, so he slipped out of the banquet and nobody saw him slip out. And when he came back in, he came back through the front door and his own guards killed him. Because he said he was the king, and they followed their original instructions, and they killed him by crushing his head with a Jewish menorah, which Belshazzar had taken out. Remember the Jewish gifts, the Jewish things that had been stolen, and they crushed his head with that. So that's a Jewish midrash. Again, there's no particular Bible verses that teach that, but it's a very old Jewish midrash. But in any case, this is a time period when this is the destruction period in Babylon. And you say, well, why is this happening to them? And the scriptures are pretty clear why this is happening at this time. It's happening in this time. This is going to be a retribution from God for the way that Babylon, this Antichrist, who was the leader in Babylon, persecuted the Jews. And it says in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 18, it says, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I'm going to punish the king of Babylon, that, by the way, is the Antichrist, and his land, just as I punished the king of Assyria. And I will bring Israel back to his pasture and will graze on Carmel and Bashan, and his desire will be satisfied in the hill country of Ephraim and Gilead. In those days, at that time, declares the Lord, search will be made for the iniquity of Israel, but there will be none, and for the sins of Judah, but they will not be found, for I will pardon those of my remnant. So you see that when they came back into the land at the end of the tribulation, you couldn't even find sin, you won't even be able to find sin among them. That was not the case when they came back to the land after the first diaspora, not at all. That will be the case because two-thirds of Israel is going to die in that tribulation period. One half of the earth, two-thirds of Israel. And God is going to purge out the sinners. And that is what he is going to do. And the reason that this judgment is coming, it says in Jeremiah 51, verse 48, then heaven and earth and all that is in them will shout for joy over Babylon, for the destroyers will come to her from the north, declares the Lord. Indeed, Babylon is to fall for the slain of Israel, as also for Babylon the slain of all the earth have fallen. So, because of the slain of Israel, the judgment will come upon them, because he tortured them so much in that last 3.5 years. You mess with Israel, you mess with the apple of God's eye. And this is exactly what we see is coming to pass here. So let's go now to this section in Isaiah chapter 13. And so before in Isaiah, he was predominantly talking about Israel and Judah. Now he's bringing this judgment, speaking about this judgment that is going to come upon them. So we covered verses 1 through 2 last time. Isaiah 13, verse 1, the oracle concerning Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw. Lift up a standard on the bare hill, raise your voice to them and wave the hand, that they may enter the doors of the nobles. I have commanded my consecrated ones, I have even called my mighty warriors, my proudly exalted ones, to execute my anger. A sound of tumult on the mountains, like that of many people, a sound of uproar, of kingdoms, of nations, gathered together. The Lord of hosts is mustering the army for battle. They are coming from a far country, from the farthest horizons, the Lord and his instruments of indignation to destroy the whole land. So we see that he is bringing in the Gentiles. It is Gentiles that are going to destroy Babylon. The Gentiles will do this. He is raising up Gentiles. So remember, there were two classes of Gentiles. Jesus referred to them in Matthew chapter 25, and we read about this last time. There were the sheep and the goats. The sheep supported Israel, the goats did not. Among the Gentiles, you'll have two different groups. The Gentiles that don't support Israel will amass with the Antichrist in the Valley of Jezreel, their forces. The ones that are pro-Israel are going to amass, are going to amass with the Lord's forces, and the Lord's forces are going to come down from the north, and they're going to attack. And this is what he's talking about. He's commanding the Lord's forces. He says, I've even called in verse 3, I've commanded my consecrated ones. I've even called my mighty warriors. These are Gentiles, my proudly exalted ones, the ones that had favored Israel, the ones that Jesus referred to as sheep, to execute my anger. A sound of tumult on the mountains like the many people, a sound of uproar of kingdoms. So it says of people and of kingdoms. When the Bible refers to people and kingdoms, it's referring to Gentiles. It's referring to those outside of Israel, of nations. Again, when he's referring to nations, he's referring to those who are outside. Of nations gathered together, the Lord of hosts is mustering the army for battle, for they are coming from a far country and from the furthest horizons, the Lord and his instruments of indignation to destroy the whole land. So this is a judgment upon Babylon. Verse 6, wail, for the day of the Lord is near. So remember, we looked at this last time. Verse 6, verse 9, and verse 13 talk about the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that is always referred to the tribulation period. Always referred to the tribulation period. And the New Testament does exactly the same thing. So we are talking about the future Babylon, the rebuilt Babylon. Babylon, the city, will be rebuilt. And then it's going to be destroyed. And it says, verse 6, wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. So this destruction from the Almighty, actually, Almighty is Shaddai, and Shaddai comes from this root word Shaddad, which means destroy. So you have this similarity of words between destruction and Almighty. So it's sort of like the destruction from the destroyer is coming. And so again, it is showing us the command of the English language, of the Hebrew language that Isaiah had. And he is the most sophisticated writer in the entire scriptures. And so he's able to use this sort of word construction. It will come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, all hands will fall limp. Every man's heart will melt. They will be terrified. Pains and anguish will take hold of them. They will writhe like a woman in labor, and they will look at one another in astonishment, their faces aflame. And so you see the different things that are going to come upon these people. And what you see is that all hands are going to go limp. Every heart is going to melt with fear. Terror is going to seize them all. Pain and anguish is going to come up, is going to grip them. And they're going to writhe like a woman in labor. And then they're going to look at each other aghast. And their faces will be red with shame and destruction. So this is what's summarized there. And then in verse 9 through 12, he talks about the destruction of humanity in the day of the Lord. So this is going to be not just the destruction of Babylon. This whole second half of the tribulation is going to be a terrible thing for the entire world, not just that area. Two-thirds of the Jews in that area are going to die. One half of humanity is going to die in that time. Verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord is coming. Again, the day of the Lord, speaking of this tribulation period. Cruel with fury and burning anger to make the land a desolation. And he will exterminate its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. So you see that in this period, he says that what's going to happen is he's going to exterminate the sinners. God is going to exterminate the sinners. Now, let me tell you something. If you don't believe this, that's okay. That's not going to stop it from happening. Isaiah mapped the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah describes crucifixion in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13 through 15, and all of Isaiah 53. He describes crucifixion 600 years before crucifixion was invented. He describes it. He talks about the coming of the Lord. He talks about the first coming, and he nailed it. In every case, he nailed it. There is no prophet that was so rich in his prophecy like there was with Isaiah. So what he prophesied about the first coming that took place, and if you say, well, that was inserted later, you're wrong again. You're wrong again. It wasn't inserted later because we found the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in the 1950s, 40s and 50s, that showed the entire book of Isaiah, the scroll of Isaiah, it's called, dates back to 150 BC, before Jesus was born. And in the Isaiah scroll is the entire book of Isaiah, and this thing was mapped out clearly for the first coming. This is going to come to pass. In fact, it is so clear that once it is written here, heaven and earth demand it. It has to happen. When it's written here, it has to happen. And when a person sits there in their false sophistication and thinks differently about this, they say, oh, come on, that won't happen. You're wrong. Just thinking that is not going to change this. It will happen. Exactly what he's doing here. And the sinners will be destroyed. God will destroy the sinners. And that's why you're going to find, as we just read in Jeremiah, that's why when the Jews come back, when Babylon is destroyed, Jews come back, you're not going to be able to find sin among them. He would have rooted that out. He would have changed that. And this is what he says. He's just going to root out the sinners all over the place. He's going to do this. And he says that in verse 10, for the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. That does not mean that the sun goes away. That just means it is obscured. It is covered. If you've ever been to a part of the world where there is heavy pollution, you cannot see the sun. I have been to countries where there was so much pollution in these cities. The sun was obviously up, but there was so much pollution in the air, you couldn't see the sun. The sky was light, and then when the pollution gets really thick, it obscures the sun so that the sun doesn't even have light. And the moon, forget it. You can't see the moon. You can't see the stars because of the pollution. Well, this is going to be because of the smoke of the uprising that's going to come. And there are five blackouts that are spoken about in the end times in the scripture. Five blackouts that are going to occur. And the first one is described in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. The first one is in Joel 2, verse 31. That's the first one that starts before the tribulation. The next one's Revelation 6, 12. That's in the first quarter of the tribulation. The next is Revelation 9, 2. That's in the second quarter of the tribulation. The fourth one is in Revelation 16, 10. That's in the second half of the tribulation. And then the last one, that it's right after the tribulation, that's mentioned in Joel 3:15 and Matthew 24:29. So Jesus describes it as well. That's the last one that's going to occur after the tribulation. So, and then he mentions you're not going to see the constellations. I mean, you're not going to see the constellations. And the Bible speaks about constellations and makes reference to them. In fact, in Job chapter 9, verse 9, so they were very well aware of these things. Job 9, 9, it says, who makes the bear, Orion, and the Pleiades, and the chambers of the south? So, I mean, you even see in Job describing three different constellations, which we have today. You can see those constellations today. They were very well aware of them. In fact, they studied the skies much more than most people today because they could see them, because there weren't lights at night. And so they could see them, and they studied them a lot. He says, you're not going to see the constellations. And these are the blackouts that he refers to that are going to occur in the end times. And so now what you see is there's three things that are going to happen. This it's going to bring on the end of wickedness. It's going to bring on these blackouts, which we just covered. And it says it's going to punish the world for evil and sin. And the human population is going to be greatly reduced in that time. So these are the things that are going to go on during that time. So now let's look at verse 11. Thus I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will also put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abase the haughtiness of the ruthless. And I will make mortal man scarcer than pure gold, and mankind than the gold of Ophir. So in other words, he takes something that's scarce, gold, and he says, mortal man man in his humanness, the sinner man, is going to be so wiped out, he's going to be scarcer than gold. God's going to sift them out. That he will do. That he will do. There's no doubt about that is going to happen. Verse 13, therefore I will make the heavens tremble and the earth will be shaken from its place at the fury of the Lord of hosts in the day of his burning anger. So these are earthquakes that are going to come on, and this fury of God is going to come. Verse 14, and it will be that like a hunted gazelle or like sheep with none to gather them, they will each turn to his own people and each one flee to his own land. Anyone who is found will be thrust through, and anyone who is captured will fall by the sword. Their little ones will also be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be plundered and their wives ravished. Behold, I'm going to stir up the Medes against them, who will not value silver or gold or take pleasure, And their bows will mow down their young men. They will not even have compassion on the fruit of the womb, nor will their eye pity children. So he's talking about the devastation that is going to come upon Babylon. And what he describes is there's going to be foreigners in Babylon, and the foreigners will get out. The foreigners are going to get out of Babylon, and they will be able to be freed from this. So if you look in Jeremiah 51, verse 9, it says, we applied healing to Babylon, but she was not healed. Forsake her and let each go to his own country, for her judgment has reached to heaven and the towers up to the very skies. So he's urging the foreigners, get out of Babylon. Go. And that's when Israel flees to Babylon and they arrive safely back in Israel. This is described. They arrive safely. They're able to escape. And so this is described in Isaiah. This is described in Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48 is the description of their fleeing. Let me look at another one. Also in Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51. So if you look in Jeremiah, here's Isaiah 48. Here's Isaiah 48 verse 20. Go forth from Babylon, free from the Chaldeans. Declare the sound of a joyful shouting. Proclaim this. Send it out to the ends of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. So the Jews got out of there. And you see again in Jeremiah 51, verse 44, flee from the midst of Babylon, and each of you save his life. Do not be destroyed in her punishment, for this is the Lord's time of vengeance. He is going to render recompense to her. I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will make what he has swallowed come out of his mouth. And the nations will no longer stream to him. Even the wall of Babylon has fallen down. Come forth from her midst, my people, and each of you save yourselves from the fierce anger of the Lord. So he's calling the foreigners out. He's delivering his people. This is what he is doing. He's delivering his people. Again, in Zechariah 2, 6, ho there, flee from the land of the north, declares the Lord, for I've dispersed you as the four winds of the heaven, declares the Lord. Ho, Zion, escape. You who are living with the daughter of Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory, he has sent me against the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. He tells Zion, he tells Israel, whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. Somebody might shake your hand. Somebody might put their hand upon your shoulder. Somebody might even put their hand upon your head. But nobody touches your eye. You don't allow it. You just don't allow it. I mean, you just don't touch my eyes. Unless, I guess, you're an optometrist or something. But you don't touch a person's eye. He says, you touch them. You touch the apple of my eye. The literal translation, it says, the daughter of my eye. Think about how you protect your daughter. He says, you touch Israel. You touch the daughter of my eye. This is the protection that he has upon them. And he is going to visit them with great attack. In fact, in the book of Revelation 18, verse 6, it says, speaking of Babylon, that city of Babylon, pay her back even as she has paid and give back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her. This is what is going to come upon them. Mix twice as much for her. This is the whole idea of the blessing that God gave upon Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. He told Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, the one who curses you, I will curse. That's what God said. And if you look at that, and when we studied this, when we went through the book of Genesis, it is not an equal. And when it says that the one who curses you, I will curse, it's the one who speaks poorly of you, I will harm. It's not an equal thing. Even they're speaking poorly of you, I will harm them. It's not an even thing. It is, I'm going to give you back more than what you gave to my children, the children of Abraham. I'm going to give you back more. And in Revelation, it says, you're going to get double what you have doled out. You're going to get double. That's what he says. That's what God says about this. And so you see this that is going to come upon them. And then prophetically, what was said in Psalm 137, prophetically, when the children of Israel were in Babylon, this is in the 600s BC, when they were in Babylon, they were sitting by the river and they were singing a prophetic song. Here is the prophetic song that they were singing that was making reference to the Babylon of the future. They didn't know that they were really making reference to, but that's what they were making reference to. And this is what it says. This was the Psalm 137, verse 8 and 9. O daughter of Babylon, you devastated one, how blessed will be the one who repays you with the recompense with which you have repaid us. How blessed will be the one who seizes and dashes your little ones against the rock. This was a prophetic song about what was going to happen to the future Babylon, the Babylon that hasn't yet been rebuilt. That city of Babylon was taken over by the Medes and the Persians in the 500s BC. It lasted 1,000 years. It wasn't until about 500 AD that it really petered out. And this is going to be rebuilt before the tribulation begins, so much so it will be the center for economics and politics. Where is Babylon today? It is in the country of Iraq. I don't understand it based on the politics of today, but it will come back. Just as we saw Israel come back, the nation was born in a day, Babylon will be rebuilt, and that is the thing that is going to be destroyed. And remember, with God's retribution, it is always in kind. It is always in kind retribution. In kind being, Pharaoh said, take all the male children of the children of Israel. If a male is born among them, he told the midwives to put them to death. Only let the females live, because they were becoming so strong. He also said, and what you were to do was to take their male children, and he says, throw them into the river, throw them into the Nile. They were to take the male children and throw them into the Nile. And God says, you're going to do that to the children of Abraham? I'm going to do that to you. More so. And how did the males of Egypt die? Well, the firstborn were killed in a night. And then what was left of the males were wiped out because they were overtaken in the Red Sea as they tried to cross it, as they tried to go after the children of Israel. You touch my sons, I'll kill your sons. That's what he said. Again, this is what the scriptures show. It is retribution in kind, retribution. And you can track this throughout the scriptures. It is in kind retribution by God upon those who visit his children with harshness. Those who speak evil of you, I will harm. God said to Abraham, those who curse you, I will curse. The two words curse are different. One is to say an evil thing. The other is to, I will physically harm you. And this is what we see here. This is the retribution that is coming upon them. So this is what we see here. And now he says, your wives are your houses are going to be wiped out. Your little ones in verse 16, their little ones will also be dashed in pieces. And then in verse 17, and I am going to stir up the Medes against them. Who are the Medes? Well, the Medes come from this region. That was a region that is current day Iran, Afghanistan, and southern Russia. Those were the Medes. And it is believed that the Medes are the forerunners, were the ancestors of the Kurds. So they're the ancestors of the Kurds. So we've heard about the Kurds in the last several years, these Kurds of Afghanistan, and there's also Kurds in Iran. So this group of people. And it says that their bloodthirst is going to be so great. But remember, these are the good Gentiles. These are the ones that are favoring Israel. These are the ones that are going to be attacking you. These are the ones, but their bloodthirst to come against the Antichrist and his troops. And that city is so great that their bloodthirst is going to be greater than their desire for silver or gold. And that's what he says here. Behold, I'm going to stir up the Medes against them who will not value silver or gold, not value silver or take pleasure in gold. And their bows will mow down the young men. So that means the men who are the fighting against them. These are the fighting age men. He says their bows are going to mow them down. They're going to be wiped out. And it's not going to stop there. They will not even have compassion on the fruit of the womb, nor will their eye pity children. And Babylon, the beauty of the kingdoms, the glory of the Chaldean pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation, nor will the Arab pitch his tent there, nor will shepherds make their flocks lie down there. Verse 21 from Isaiah 13, but desert creatures will lie down there, and their homes will be full of owls. Ostriches also will live there, and shaggy goats will frolic there. Hyenas will howl in their fortified towers, and jackals in their luxurious palaces. Her fateful time will also soon come, and her days will not be prolonged. So this definitely did not happen in the first attack on Babylon, the first Medes attack on Babylon. That city remained in Babylon. That Babylonian city remained. This is going to be the last Babylon. He says, no one will ever live in it again. It is going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. No one has ever lived in Sodom and Gomorrah after that time. Some people say they think they found the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'll tell you, the Messianic Jewish studies says, no, Sodom and Gomorrah is at the bottom of the Dead Sea. That's where they say it is. It's at the bottom of the Dead Sea. God just pummeled that thing so heavily with salt coming down that filled that area. And that's what the Dead Sea is. And Sodom and Gomorrah at the bottom of the Dead Sea. Nobody has ever lived there again. There are two places on earth that the Bible speaks about where no person will ever live again. One is Babylon. And there are people in Babylon today. So this destruction has not yet happened. This is for the future. But it's going to be Babylon and Edom. That southern part, just south of the Dead Sea area, no one's going to live there either. And we'll look at those verses last time. But God has said that. Why wouldn't people want to live in Babylon? I mean, because God said it. But you can keep people from living in certain places by, I don't know, you can do certain things. You can fill it up with toxic things. You can put nuclear waste there. You can put, pop off a nuke there. We don't know what's going to happen. But no one will ever live there again except animals, solitary desert animals and goats. And this whole thing of goats speaks of this whole word for goats, these shaggy goats or these wild goats, is the same word that was used in the Bible for the worship of goats. The people of that land would often worship these goats. In Leviticus 17, verse 7, it says, they shall no longer sacrifice their sacrifices to the goat demons with which they play the harlot. And so we'll follow upon this more in the future, but you will see sometimes these goat-like figures, and it's characteristic of the occult. So if you have some of these goat-like figures in your house where there's a human chest and a goat head, that is all derivative of the occult and from this. So you probably don't even know what you've got in your house if you've got that, but that sort of thing. If you don't know the Lord, God is going to purify this world of sinners. You've got a hard life ahead of you. If you don't know the Lord, you have to come and speak to me. Come and see me. Or you can write to me, tour@drjamestour.org. tour at drjamestour.org. We will set up a time to get together. If you live in Houston, we'll get together physically. If you don't, we'll get together virtually. And let me share with you, you'll get saved that very day. It's not hard. It's not hard because Jesus has already paid for everything. It's not hard. Come on into the kingdom of God, because God deals with sinners. He really does. And this shows you how hard it's going to be in the end times for the sinners. Let's pray. Lord, we thank and we praise you for the mercies and the grace of God. Thank you for the truth of your word, how wonderful it is. Thank you for these prophecies, that we have seen the prophecies of Isaiah be fulfilled. And thank you for the prophecies of Isaiah that are going to be fulfilled. Thank you, Lord, that you give us understanding of what is to come and how it's going to happen. Lord, thank you for your word. Blessed be your name, O Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I pray, Lord, for the unbelievers, that you would save a soul today. Lord, save souls. And Lord, I lift up to you the believers. Give them a greater fear of you and of your word, that they would want to walk according to your ways. Father, please take these young people and give them a heart to love the word of God, because everything here that is written is true. Everything will come to pass. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to give to help out with these podcasts, you can go to jesusandscience.org. All donations are tax deductible. We have no employees in this organization. All the money just goes for the contract work on the production. Thanks so much.